Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, page 893. Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender sapling, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor lordliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Psalm 1, the book of the Psalms, Psalm 1, page 689. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, and standeth not in the way of sinners, and sitteth not in the seat of scorners. But his delight is in Jehovah's law, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he is as a tree planted by brooks of water, which giveth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf fadeth not, and all that he doeth prospereth. Bit of an unusual subject tonight, trees. I'm not really very good with trees. I had an accident years and years ago, cutting one down, and it all went very wrong. And I've still got the scars, just to remind me of my stupidity. I understand in the Bible there's about 200 references to trees. I understand, having sort of changed career slightly, there's lots of varieties of trees. Something like 73,000 varieties of trees in the world. I was thinking, literally, the top of my head, and so it won't be many, but there's quite a few trees you can think of. There's the Zacchaeus and the sycamore climbing up in the tree, and you think of the Mount of Olives, the olive tree, and you think of the Song of Songs, the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood. You could go on and on. And although there's 200 references in the Bible, I won't be going over 200. So don't panic. We've read of Jesus, and it's a picture. Now, Jesus is not a tree, but the writers are illustrating Jesus as a tree. And I think it helps, certainly helps me. If you go to Isaiah and what insight he had, I know he's a prophet, and he would have got his message from God himself, from Jehovah. But verse 2 of 53, he shall grow up before him as a tender sapling, as a root out of dry ground. What an unattractive picture that is of someone. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him, but that we should be even interested in someone like that. And I don't know if you're like that, but I remember sitting in the gospel preaching, utterly bored, and this picture of Jesus was just my view. There was nothing. My parents were just, I used to say, they were religious to my school friends. And I'm so bored on a Sunday, and I'd rather be playing football. And there's no beauty. There's nothing attractive about him. It's just boring. And yet you read it. A root out of dry ground. What a different person he was. He didn't get his pleasure, his satisfaction from the world system. It was a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor lordliness, but he was as a tender sapling. I see lots of tender saplings in my days, these days. Just tiny little insignificant things. And yet you look at what can come out of a tender sapling. And I don't want anyone here to miss the beauty of Jesus. You think of him as a baby in a manger. Think of the Jew waiting for someone great and grand, someone on a horse riding in with armies and power and authority. And no wonder they missed it, because there was a baby lying not in a palace, but in Bethlehem's manger. And it wasn't what they thought. It didn't fit their picture. They wanted someone great and grand and powerful. And they missed that this very description is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because God is God, and in his wisdom, that's who he sent. He sent his very best. He sent his own Son to you and to me, to this world, as a saviour. He didn't come with armies for protection. Immediately there was an attack on his life, and his parents had to take him and flee. Think of the divine protection on Jesus. There was swaddling clothes at his birth, and there was fine linen at his death. That's the God I speak of tonight. The God who wants to protect you from your birth and through into death. What a God he is. And think of how he loved his Son and his divine protection on Jesus. Think of how Jesus went through. We spoke, didn't we, in the reading of that time when they came to kill him and throw him over the precipice. And he, in his wisdom, because of who he was, he could disappear from them. Just a tender sapling. Do you know, tonight, if you just get that little impression, if there's just some little green shoot in the beauty of Jesus, just hold on to it, because it will grow. When you're children and you're young, it might seem very dull. It might seem very tough. We might say words that you don't understand. If you were like me as a child, I remember it well. But just hold on to the tender sapling. Because in Psalm 1, "And he is as a tree planted by brooks of water." Some people say this psalm is what we should be. And I read it and I think, wow, I've stood in the way of sinners. I've sat in the seat of scorners. Have I delighted in Jehovah's law? Day and night have I meditated? So I'm applying it to Jesus. Because if you want a picture of the perfection of Jesus, here it is. He was one who studied and loved his Father and the law, fulfilled the law absolutely perfectly, managed to stand in the way of sinners and sat in the seat of scorners, yes. And they wondered at how he could do it and not become affected. But no, that was Jesus. He was perfect and he was sinless. You know that, but does it affect your heart? Is he as a root out of dry ground still to you, or is he as a tree planted by brooks of water, which giveth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf fadeth not, and all that he doeth prospereth? We sang that hymn, "Thy name must live, whatever names may die." And whose leaf fadeth not. So how do you get from that one picture in Isaiah of no beauty to this very attractive verse, a tree planted by brooks of water, which giveth its fruit in its season? Can you turn to Galatians, page 1405, Galatians 3, verse 10. "For as many as are on the principle of works of law are under curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, we'll stop there for a moment. That's us, isn't it? The things that are written in the book of the law. The law was given, as we know, to expose to man that he couldn't keep it. It wasn't a trick of God. Some people have said that. What an awful thing to do, to give something that they give the law that man couldn't fulfill. It was to show to man that he couldn't fulfill the law. Whereas Jesus did perfectly, every day, every moment, absolutely fulfilled the law. Verse 11, but that by law no one is justified with God is evident, because the just shall live on the principle of faith. But the law is not on the principle of faith, but he that shall have done these things shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone hanged upon a tree. We've read of three trees: a root out of dry ground, a tree by brooks of water. How do you get from one to the other? I want to point you, dear soul, tonight, to that tree that Jesus hung on. Cursed is everyone hanged upon a tree. I just want to take you there briefly. I know it's hot. It's been a hot week. We're all tired. But think about that tree where Jesus was made a curse. A curse that was ours. He took it upon himself. The perfect one, the rich one, became poor, that through his poverty we might be enriched. The curse, the judgment that was due to me, Jesus took it upon himself. That's how, the only way I can tell you, is to get from the root out of dry ground and the no beauty that we should desire. I get to Psalm 1 and I see him because of what he did for me. I see him as a tree by the brooks of the water, giving its fruit in its season. What a beautiful person he is. Isaiah calls him wonderful, and I love that. Jesus is wonderful. And I don't know if you found him, but I have, and I can tell you about him. I wouldn't tell you tonight about anybody else. That baby that was in the manger that did such good and loved and was moved with compassion, went to a cross for my sake. Is that not beautiful? Is that not wonderful that he's done that for you? That he took your place when you should have borne the judgment and the trouble and the pain and the shame and the humiliation? Jesus stepped in and he said, no, I'll go. I'll take it as though it was my own. That's how much he loves you. I'll tell you how much he loves you. I remember a story being told of a man at school, and he had a fairly scary teacher, and this teacher on his lapel had a little gold caterpillar, and the boys wanted to ask him about it, but they were too afraid, until one day one of them plucked up the courage and said, sir, what's that little gold caterpillar on your lapel for? And he told them his story. And he was in a plane in the war, and the plane was shot down. And he and others walked through enemy territory to safety. And that was it. He got that gold caterpillar just to remind him of what he'd been through and the fact that he'd got through by walking out of enemy territory. And he went on to tell those boys about things that he'd witnessed in the war. And some of them were graphic, and some of them weren't pleasant. And he said he'd seen people being injured, and they were stoic. They didn't show on their face the agony and the pain. They could just bear it in the face of the enemy.
they could just about not let it show. But if anyone was shot in the palm of the hand, they couldn't hold back the tears. He said, "I've never seen a man with an injury in there who didn't cry." Jesus was on that tree for you and me as a curse. What did he have in his hands? That's how much he loved you. He loved you enough to have nails in his hands and in his feet. He loved you enough to bear your burden of sin and to take it away and to carry it and to bear it in his body and bear the judgment from God, a holy and a righteous God, one who had fulfilled the law perfectly. All the injustice. Do you love him? Because he loves you. I can assure you of it from this incredible book. God's word tells me that Jesus loves me. And what is that cross, that tree on which he hung? It's a beacon, is it not? It shines all the way back to Adam. And it shines all the way down to today and beyond. It's like a beacon of light. What a beautiful thing the cross of Jesus is. Oh, don't let it be boring. Don't let it mean nothing to you. Don't just think it's what you... it's for others, and there's a journey in your path and your life, and you can avoid that cross, and you can go around it, and you can ignore it. Don't think that, friend. Paul was like that, wasn't he? He says on the way to Damascus, he would have had to have passed the spot where the cross of Christ was. And he went round it, I suppose. But you know, Jesus, in his wisdom and in his beautiful way, he stopped him on that Damascus road. You can't get round that cross, friend. There's no other way of salvation. Oh, let's go home by the way of the cross, because the way of the cross, it leads home. I appeal to everyone to look at that tree tonight, to think of the man that hung there for you. That man that suffered in his own body, he held out his arms, he stretched them out that much to say, "I love you." What are you going to do with that love of Jesus? And all you say is, "Is that it? Is that the gospel? Is it done? Finished at the cross? What a lovely man. How can I thank him?" We went to Lois's, that's our daughter, one of them. We went to her graduation a few months ago, and it's a theology college, so we were expecting all sorts. But one of the speakers, a lady, got up. She was a student in the university, and she got up to speak to, I don't know, 300 people. And she said, "I came here to prove to myself that Jesus wasn't real." And she said, "And I found that he is real. And I also found that he's alive." That's stunning, isn't it? Have you found that? You know, it's not just a dusty book. It's not just a story. There's a living man. A real and living man. The tree of life comes into Revelation. Think of that. Have a right to the tree of life. He says in Revelation that he that is athirst, let him come. Come to Jesus tonight. He's a real man. And he's alive. And he's coming. He's coming back. Coming back for those that have put their faith and their trust in him. The time's brief. The time's short. Two more stories and I'm done. One of them, Mark Standing. Maybe some of you know of him. I think it was his aunt
who can't think of the name of the village. West Sussex, East Sussex, somewhere, doesn't matter, but it's a detail. And it was during the war, and they got married, and they said goodbye to their, they were fairly poor, they said goodbye to their parents at the bus stop, and this newly married couple were walking to their new home before they would be separated and posted off overseas. And they decided to walk along the railway track. And it was a blackout, and it was pouring with rain, and they had coats on their heads to cover themselves from the rain. And the train came and killed them both 4 hours after they were married. And the vicar who married them that next week had to bury them. And you think, don't you, of the gospel? I've got loads of time. I'm young. One more story. I work with a man who I've been speaking to. And he was, months ago now, he was up a ladder. And I saw it fall with him on top. And he fell onto a wall, and he fell in between two walls. And I found him, and he was motionless. And I thought then, imagine if he hasn't accepted Jesus as his saviour. Imagine. We don't know, do we? It's the old preacher thing, isn't it? You don't know how long you've got. You don't. Look at the illustration of the young married couple with life in front of them. Plans, hopes, dreams, children, I don't know what. Think of that young man that I worked with. And I thought he was dead. And I climbed up over the wall. I checked for a pulse. Still a moment, still a chance to obey. I spoke to him. I didn't know if he could hear me. Now's your moment. Now's your moment. You don't know. I didn't know how long he'd live. End of the story is he had to have air ambulance, and we had to move sheep from a field, and lots of drama. But he's okay. I've spoken to him since. And he's still resisting the love of Jesus. I said to him one day, you know, the man that had everything taken away from him. And we've read about that curse. Cursed is he that is hanged on a tree. In that moment, he had everything taken away. His dignity, his clothes, his humiliation. Think of it. Everything taken away, his rights gone. But the one who had everything taken away gave everything he had. He still gave his life for you. He still shed his precious blood for you. The last things that he had that they hadn't taken from him, he gave them. You can say men murdered him. I don't like that. He laid down his life for you. He laid it down that he might take it again. He shed his precious blood. You say, well, the soldier pierced his side, and so he did. Jesus shed his precious blood for you. Jesus did. What a man. What a love. What a wonderful saviour he is. May he become that tree by the brooks of water. May you see something beautiful and attractive. And may you love him, and may you serve him for the rest of your days, for his name's sake.
Amen.